Our second scripture reading is James chapter 4, verses 11 through 17. Brothers and sisters, do not slander one another. Anyone who speaks against a brother or sister or judges them speaks against the law and judges it. When you judge the law, you are not keeping it, but sitting in judgment on it. There is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy. But you, who are you to judge your neighbor? Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogant schemes. All such boasting is evil. If anyone, then, knows the good they ought to do and doesn't do it, it is sin for them.
All right, well, yeah. We'll dig into James a little bit more this morning as we've been looking at that throughout the summer months here. And last week, we were looking at the first part of James chapter 4, just verses 1 through 10. And really, we're looking at a few questions, and I'm just going to kind of run through that real quick here. We looked at a couple thoughts. One was, will I live by God's wisdom or my own? Will I trust in his wisdom? And will I seek it alone? And the audience that James is writing to, they're really struggling. They were pursuing after worldly pleasures, and they were pursuing the wisdom of the world. So will I live by God's wisdom or my own? And then next, we then looked at God and how he gives us more grace. We looked at his character, that he continues to pour out his love to us, that he jealously pursues us, and he will oppose pride in our lives. When we pridefully trust in our own wisdom, pridefully trust in our own ways, that he'll oppose that, but he continues to pour out his grace so that we might experience the fullness of his grace through Christ. And then the end part of that passage, it looked at just, you know, looking at our response. What does it look like to be humble? What does it look like to be humble? To submit ourselves to God, to come near to him, to wash our hands and purify our hearts, to repent of our sin. And then lastly, we need to just to humble ourselves before the Lord, to know our place, our position before him, and to submit to God knowing rightly who he is. And so that was what we were challenged to last week, and we were challenged to walk humbly before God and live by his wisdom through the power of his grace in our lives. And we're going to continue to look at that in this passage today, just how to walk humbly before him and trust in his wisdom alone. So will you pray with me real quick? Father, as we come before you again this morning, as we look to your word and just the words that are written in the book of James, they're very powerful and they're challenging to us. So Lord, I ask that your Holy Spirit would convict us, would draw us near to you. Lord, just that you reveal your truth to us so that we might be humble before you and that we might live through the power of your grace. In Christ's name, amen. So as we look at these verses 11 through 17, verses 11 and 12, just the thought here, there's one in charge. And in parentheses there, it is not you. So there is one in charge. And these two verses, in many ways, they kind of reiterate the previous 10. It's kind of looking at a different issue, but looking at it in the same way. You know, he's addressing these Christians. They've been slandering one another, speaking against each other, and that reflects back to the quarrels and fightings that we see in verses 1 through 5. In addition, they are putting themselves above the law, rather than being in submission to God, just as those in verses 1 through 5, they were trusting in their worldly pleasures and pursuing those rather than being devoted and loving God. And then in verse 12, James turns to reminding them to humble themselves before God because he alone is the lawgiver and judge. And we are, again, James is calling us to humility. He's calling us to remember our place and position before him. Just as in verses 6 through 10, James is calling us to submit to God and be humble. So he's really reflecting that same pattern. You know, there's some concerns here, but you need to humble yourself before God. Now, to think about this, James is saying that we can never hold another brother or sister in Christ accountable? Are we not to speak to them when they are straying from the truth or straying from God's commandments and law? No, we are, of course, there is going to be a time when we need to approach a brother in humbleness before God and in a spirit of restoration and grace and speak the truth in love to our brothers and sisters in Christ. In this situation here, though, James, he's addressing the heart of these Christians and their motivation behind their judgment and words. And they were slandering one another. So their motivation was clearly to tear one another down and to destroy another in order to exalt themselves in their own position. And that's really what slander, that's at the heart of slander. It's that desire really to destroy another person, their reputation, their influence. And usually that is done by lies, by half-truths, and deceit. And so sadly, these believers, they were engaging in that. And that's where their heart was at. Their heart was far astray from the ways of God and the ways of love, the ways of humility. And in turn, they were also abusing the righteous law of God. They're using it for their own ends so that they could gain power and influence within the church at the expense of others. So this is really a dangerous church and dangerous situation within this church. And so James is very clearly warning them, and he's clearly calling them back, reminding them of their position before God. And that's why in verse 12, he clearly says, there is only one lawgiver and judge. You know, God is in charge. You're not in charge. You're not the rule maker. You're not the one that's sovereign over these situations. You know, God alone is sovereign, and he is in control, not you. And he's going to hold you accountable for everything that you do. And it goes on, it says, he alone, there is only one lawgiver and judge, the one who is able to save and destroy, that he alone is able to save and destroy. He's really speaking to these believers and saying, you know, you have sought to destroy your brother through slander. Be reminded, however, that you will face the one judge and lawgiver who alone has power to save and destroy. He's really warning them, do you realize how dangerous your actions are and how defiant they are before God? He's expressing his love for these believers. He's holding them accountable in a humble way. He's saying, remember your Savior. Remember God who loves you. Remember how, just realize how dangerous these actions are, that you're slandering one another, you're tearing one another down. You're not acting out of a desire for God's grace and love to be shown, but instead you're acting out of envy and selfish ambition for the sake of your own pride. So he's reminding them and warning them, watch your words and actions and be humble before him and in your dealings with others, for he alone is able to save and destroy. That is not within your ability. And he ends that verse 12 by saying, you know, for who are you to judge your neighbor? So mind your tongue, mind your actions. You know, don't point out the speck in your brother's eye when you have a log in your own eye. A lot of James's teachings, they reflect back to the Sermon on the Mount, and I think a lot of that is in his mind as he's writing this letter. He's reminding them to check their hearts, to put others first, you know, not to slander, not to take people down, but instead check your own heart and put other people's needs first. In the earlier part of chapter 4, it's that reminder again, follow God's example, give more grace, extend love, and humble yourself in the sight of God because he is the only lawgiver and judge. From that verse, he moves on to a kind of a new section in verses 13 through 16, and these are some challenging verses as well. And the next point I kind of want to look at here this morning is, what are your plans? What are your plans? And these verses really tackle some of that, just the way we think about our lives, the way we think about the way we make plans, the way we make our decisions on a day-to-day basis, and our decisions relating to the future. And so he says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we'll go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money. And then he says, why? You do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. And so James, again, is calling us to think very carefully about this specific issue. He says, now listen. So think carefully. Consider closely this area of your thinking. You know, how do you go about making plans? How do you go about planning for the future? How do you make those decisions? What wisdom are you consulting? And again, this is a lot about wisdom in this last chapter. Are we consulting the wisdom of God in our daily decisions? So what is informing your decisions and guiding you? And then, of course, within that, what place does God and his will have in your life? Is that a continual part of your thought process as you make plans? How easy is it for us to just make plans and go do it and just live life how we want? How easy is that for us to do? How easy is it for us to really live in a very much of blind confidence in our own plans? You know, we make a decision, we do it, and we kind of have this confidence within us that we can go do these things. It's very easy to live with that mentality, especially in our day and age in the country we live in. I think the reality is, at times, I know in my own life, there may be times we even try to make God even serve our own plans if we are really honest. You know, we make plans and we kind of then go and say, oh God, just please bless this, rather than first considering his will, his plan, and his word before we make our plans. I think we must be careful not to put our expectations, our happiness, in the plans and in the patterns of this world. And James is really warning against that. How easily we can fall into presumptuous confidence and even vanity and pride because we believe in our own plans and what we want to do. But that we know from the Word, and we know from other passages in James, that stuff will come crashing down. That there's a limit to our ability. There's a limit to our power. Again, we are not the ones in charge. There is only one in charge. And so the point James here is making, he says, do not disregard God's providence. Again, he is the judge and lawgiver. He is sovereign. He's in total control. He's omnipotent and omniscient, meaning he is all-powerful. He is all-present, or he's all-knowing. And he alone is the one that will say what will happen, and it happens. He alone has that power. And James really is humbling this church again, these Christians that he's writing to. You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Our lives truly are but a vapor. So who are you to make plans for tomorrow? Who are you to say you have control over that? So do not leave the Lord out of your decisions and plans. How foolish it is to do so. And that continues, again, that theme of worldly wisdom versus God's wisdom. Worldly wisdom is temporary. It pursues the here and now. It's a mist that is vanishing fast. Whereas God's wisdom, God's ways, his plans are eternal. He sees all and he knows all. We need to seek him with those plans. So James is, again, as he's always calling us to genuine faith, he's calling us to a genuine faith that trusts him implicitly with our lives. Not only our lives today, but also with our future. And so with the rest of those verses, 15 to 17, point two there was, what are your plans? Now the third part of this passage, what are the Lord's plans? What are his plans? And James is then, he's turning to where our focus should be always, and that is doing the Lord's will. In verse 15 and 7 through 17, it says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. And so James says, instead you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. That's really a statement of humility and humbleness before God. You're subjecting yourself to the Lord's will and to his plans. It's coming back to that idea of humility again in this passage, that we should be humble before the Lord. We should make our plans according to the Lord's will, and always with the mindset of searching and seeking for his will in constant prayer. We don't want to act unless it's his will. We want to be humble before it. And so it's that idea of approaching everything in faith, acknowledging who is the master of your life. That's a way of sharing our faith, really. If someone asks you what you're going to do, well, I'm planning on this, but Lord willing, that'll happen. It's really a statement of faith. It's saying, I'm trusting in the Lord, and if it's his will, this will happen. And if not, then he's got something else instead. It's really living our life under his mastery, and that's the best place to be, because he loves us, and he has a good plan for us. And so other thoughts with this, you can say, I think we should approach our decisions by saying, well, if it's the Lord's will, we'll do this or that. Another way you could say, if it is to his glory, I'll do this or that. I'm going to do the good that he has called me to do. I'm going to seek what he's put in front of me. And also the idea of, I'm going to boast in him alone and give him the glory in everything, rather than seeking my own plans and my own glory. So James, as he's cutting to our heart, and he's saying, is everything in your life truly in the Lord's hands? Does your heart say, as I will do this or that, as I plan, as I decide? Or does your heart say instead, as the Lord wills, I will do this or that. As the Lord plans, I'll do it. And as the Lord decides, I'll pursue that. The person of genuine faith leaves everything in the Lord's hands because they have humbly surrendered to the Lord and know their desperate need for his will, his wisdom, his commands, and his discernment in their lives. So do not boast and brag in your planning. Do not boast or brag in your own wisdom, your worldly thinking, for all such boasting is evil. James doesn't hold any punches there. He says, you boast and brag, all such boasting is evil. That's not a place for us to be. You go back to chapter 3, he'd talk of the teachers. Teachers, they can spout off a lot of great wisdom. The tongue can make great boasts and plans. Worldly wisdom, you can pursue that and make great claims on success, happiness, and even longevity. And many also boast in the pleasures and desires. But remember, all that is but a vapor. All that is but a mist. all that will crash down and it'll be gone in an instant. If you do boast, boast alone in the Lord. Seek him first and rejoice in him, for he alone works all things to good. Romans 8:28, a great verse, it says, you know, and God works for the good of all those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And also Jeremiah 9, 23 and 24, just two wonderful verses that just speak about where should our trust be and what should we be boasting in, what should we be seeking. It says, you know, this is what the Lord says, let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. You know, those are all the things that are vanishing, they're perishing. But then it goes on, but let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight. And so we boast in the Lord, we boast in his will, and we seek and desire to do his will because he is the one that exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth, and he delights in those things. We serve a wonderful master. Let us humbly bow and worship him. See, he has all history. Every detail of history is in the palm of his hands. Every detail of your life, he knows every detail of it. So let us, in response, let us humbly do the good that he has called us to do. Let us not neglect it. Let us seek his will and let us act on it. Do what he has placed before you today. Don't worry about tomorrow, as the scripture earlier that Joe read. Don't worry about tomorrow, but instead seek the Lord's will today and walk in it. Do the good that he's placed in front of you. And for those plans for the future, make them in accordance with his goodness. You know, the good he has called you to do, and always seek his will when you make those plans. Don't be making plans on your own. Don't supersede his plans, but humbly seek his will. And of course, always be ready to adjust as his will is revealed to you. So in application today, just to finish up, just some last little thoughts. Again, just that important first one. There is one in charge, and that's the Lord. Humbly submit to him. There is one that is in charge. Let us come before him. Second, there are no such things as your plans. Again, our lives are but a vapor. All is according to the Lord's will, and it will happen according to his will. Let us humbly come before him. And that's the third point. Humble yourself before his will. You know, do everything seeking to be in line with the Lord's will and his word. And then last, boast in the Lord. Boast in him alone. Boast in the Lord and who he is, that he is the judge and lawgiver, that he is sovereign and all-powerful. Boast in his purposes and his plans alone, knowing that he is in control of all our tomorrows and into eternity. And boast that he cares about you, that you are but a mist, but a vapor, but he cares about you so much that he would send his son to die for you, that you might have an eternal future. And boast in the Lord that others might see the Lord's will and power in your life, that they too may also give him glory and humbly come before him. Will you pray with me? Father, as we look at these verses, there is just some really important, challenging thoughts for us to look at. Lord, just help us to think about the way we make plans, how we make decisions about our lives on a day-to-day basis, and as we look to our future. Lord, in all those things, may we humbly come before you, acknowledging that you are completely in control. Lord, that we are truly but a mist. But Lord, that you care about us. Lord, that you have sent your son to die for each and every one of us, that you care about us even though we are but dust and ashes, but a mist, or that you have a deep love and a passion for us, that you have a good purpose, a pleasing purpose for our lives, that you delight in us. So Lord, help us just have a better appreciation each and every day of your great love and your goodness, of your power. Lord, may we humbly come before you, knowing that you have a good plan for our lives. And Lord, as we make decisions, may we always make them in acknowledgement that you are in control. May you reveal your will to us, Lord, because we want to walk in your will. We don't want to walk astray from that. We don't want to be making decisions that are against your will. So, Lord, humble us that we may walk in accordance with your will, that you may be glorified in our lives. Lord, that everything in our lives would reflect your glory. Thank you again that you are sovereign, that you are in control. And as we go from here this day, may you reveal to us the good that we ought to do, and may we do it. In Christ's name, amen. All right, I'm going to invite the children up one more time. We'll sing our closing song, and we'll finish up. Here they come. you're welcome to stand, and I think the words will be on the screen, so you're welcome to join us. So, yeah.
And if there
and
are
please
any
do
helpers,
the hand motions.
Yeah, if there's any helpers that didn't come up to do singing before, helpers are welcome.
If you're not doing the hand motions, we'll call you up front to join us, okay? Bill, I'm watching you, okay? All right. Yeah.
Sound. Spread the good news all around. Bring his joy to every land. Because it is our Lord's command. Oh, let me tell you now, I know that Jesus saves. I know Jesus saves. Gonna sing his praise, gonna sing his praise. Gonna shout it from the highest mountain to the deepest cave. Hey. I know that Jesus saves, my Jesus saves. Give the winds your mighty voice. Let the nations now rejoice. Oh, 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 shout salvation full and free. Hey, 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 this is our song of victory. Better believe that I know that Jesus saves, I know Jesus saves. And I'm gonna sing his praise, gonna sing his praise. They're gonna shout it from the highest mountain to the deepest cave. Yes, my Jesus saves. Whoa, oh, oh. Whoa, oh, oh. Whoa, oh, oh.
You can stay for a moment. Yeah. Thank you, children, so much. A pleasure to be here this week. They're going to be a closing song during, so you can listen to. Okay. Let's grab hands with one another around you. This is something we do, children, during the week. So we hold hands at the end and we lift each other up in prayer. So you can hold your hands up high. There you go. For those of you who don't know, if in the Bible there's a passage where Moses, where Aaron and Hur lift his hands up in prayer. So that's why we do this at the end. So let me pray for us. Father, thank you again so much that Jesus saves. Thank you that you have saved us from our sin. You have delivered us, Lord. We trust in you. And Lord, as we go from here, may we shout it to the highest mountains and to the deepest caves. In Christ's name, amen. God bless you guys. Have a great week.